You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. Happy birthday, America. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. I'm proud to be an American. I am proud to be an American. If we wouldn't get hit with copyright restrictive strikes and what have you, I would play that. You wouldn't want to hear me sing it, that's for sure, but I would play that. You know, I am so proud to be an American, and there are so many forces right now attempting to destroy the nation built on God-fearing men. It's our forefathers. Now, I know about the arguments about our forefathers, the deists, the Masonic influence. I know that. But America today versus, well, let's just go back, what would it be, 42 years. 1976. Remember America? Remember America in 1976. America's bicentennial. Remember the bicentennial minutes. Remember the commercials that went on throughout the year. Comedians, politicians, everybody came together to celebrate America. Remember that. I remember what I was doing. I remember specifically how I spent July 4th, 1976, how I spent it. It doesn't matter, but I was certainly aware that I was living in a very special place. Now, for international listeners, I just want to say this. You need to be proud of your country, of your country's heritage. Maybe not as it is today, but as it once was, and as it can still be. You can retake your country if you're sitting in a country that has been marginalized or taken down by this leftist, cultural, Marxist, vitriolic toxicity that we see out there. It's just not for Americans. It's for all of the freedom-loving people living in westernized countries. We will not submit to the toxic cultural Marxist influence and objectives that are out there. This globalism, this new world order, whether it be from the globalists or the Marxists, really they're one and the same. We're not going to submit to that. Today, remember why you have off today, if you do. Remember why we are commemorating the day in America. Or whatever your Independence Day is, if you celebrate it in your Western country. This is a special day for America, and it's a special day for all of us listening here within the borders of our 50 states. Notice I said borders. I wanted to lead off the show this morning. I've got so much to say, so much to go through. I want to thank you for making this show, Doug Hagmann Radio Show, one of the fastest growing shows across the board. DHRS, hashtag DHRS, Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Thank you for making it one of the most popular shows across the board. I ask that you share this program with others on your social feed, network feed, Facebook, Twitter, Gab. I ask that you post it wherever you feel comfortable posting it. I believe, by the way, that you, Not just me, but you, me, together, we are making a difference. And we can see this. And the bigger difference we make, the more difference, right? What we're doing, it's causing this, well, it's causing the Marxist, progressive, liberal, fascist, communist, their heads to explode. They're going crazy. They're losing their grip. And it is something to see. Now, it's also as much as it is a victory for Americans, for freedom-loving people all across the world, it is pushing us into a dangerous position, and we recognize that. We are seeing more and more aggressive actions by people on the left, and that includes the democratic socialists, the fascists, and fascism is a leftist quality. It is not far right. Fascism is left. Everything you've been taught in school is regarding fascism being far right. That is a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Communism, far left. It's that collectivism. We had the authors on our flagship show, Charles Sasser, Crushing the Collective, and others talking about this. But happy birthday, America. And may God bless this country. And may God have mercy on this country as well. Now, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm a very faulted Christian. Faulted at best. Faulty, I guess. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. America, and I'm with Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com. I'm with him. You know, Americans, the America of today that exports, that and embraces, those people in America who embrace and export things like infanticide, otherwise known as abortion, the people who embrace and celebrate homosexuality, for example, the perversity of biblical marriage and family, that the biblical family, and export the same. We need to repent as a nation. Again, I'm not a minister or pastor. I'm not that. But I can see where while we can celebrate our freedoms, the cloak of God's judgment should be upon us for the perversity, how we have perverted America's great institutions and the world's great institutions, marriage, the biblical husband and wife, the biblical sanctity of human life, and especially in what should be the safest place in all of America, the mother's womb. For this, I think that we need to repent, but yet celebrate the things that we have right today and the things that have been righted, corrected, that is, since the election of Donald Trump 530 days ago plus. Now, we're not perfect. It's not perfect. But we're heading more toward the constitutional republic here 2 years into the Donald Trump presidency than we were during the presidencies of, well, since Jimmy Carter, since the bicentennial back in 1976. And let me ask you, who remembers those bicentennial minutes? Remember that? And remember the buses all across America being painted with the flag and flags hanging everywhere. And I remember off of fire engines, I remember what I was doing and flags on fire engines and the fire stations and rescue vehicles with flags and the fire stations draped in flags, the patriotic America. I remember things like the Carol Burnett Show, the small things. Carol Burnett talking about patriotism during the bicentennial year. And you might think, well that's such an idiotic thing to say. Not really. Compare that to Michelle Wolf today. What a difference 42 years makes. What a difference of Marxist indoctrination makes. This has been the goal of the left, the Marxist left. As you can tell, I'm not reading from a script. I'm not reading from anything. This is from my heart. And I woke up at 3:30 this morning. I grabbed my dog. I said, "Let's rock. Let's go to the studio." And she looked at me and she said, "What are you doing?" But we got to the studio about 10 minutes to 4, and I've been on fire ever since. Because it's America's birthday. Donald Trump is in the White House. Now, he's not perfect. I get that. But you know what? I'm proud to be an American. In fact, I have a, you might think this is funny, but I've got a scarf that's red, white, and blue, and it looks like the flag, of course. That's around Lady of the Studio Dog's neck, and I'm proud to be an American. But with that, it's interesting because the blowback that we are getting, it's so dangerous. I've talked about this. I've talked about the civil war that seems to be imminent. Well, that we're already in a civil war. I understand that. We've been in this civil war for some time, this cultural conflict, the cultural Marxism that has been attacking the United States. It's incredible. By the way, I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit weird. I had some medical procedures done. There was a tube that was stuck down my throat, and it's a little sore. And yesterday, and everything's fine. It's all cool, but a little bit not. I might hit some high points or low points. I'm not sure, or just some screechy points. I apologize for that. But having said all that, I apologize for nothing else. I don't apologize for being an American. I don't apologize for our policies in relative to the border enforcement and immigration like others. I'm just proud. Now, on the other hand, I told you about the bicentennial minutes. Now, if you weren't born yet, or if you, because I know the audience demographic, or if you don't remember the bicentennial. Oh, just, in fact, you can go on YouTube and search some bicentennial minutes, and it's kind of fun to look back. The man on the street interviews were mostly local back then. Well, they were all local, aired national selectively, but you didn't have 24/7 cable news networks in 1976. And I think it might even be better to go back to 1976 in terms of the coverage, because it was all local until it made national. But you can look at some of the local interviews, the man on the street interviews, and the pride that was pushed by people in their communities, the pride of America being pushed in their communities, saying, yeah, I'm proud to be an American. It was so evident back then. And, you know, there was something we could all agree upon in 1976. When you listened to the bicentennial minutes or listened to the man on the street interviews during that entire year, the local stuff, like I said, there was common, much more common ground than there is today. Now, but look, by far it wasn't perfect. Having lived through that time, and sorry about that. I just hit the mic. If you're wearing headphones, I apologize. It's a lot different. And again, the difference over the 42 years since has been the influx of cultural Marxism in this country, pushed by academia, pushed by Hollywood, pushed by the network news. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play you a segment from CNN about being proud to be an American. Listen to this from CNN. Listen to this man on the street interview from CNN. And think, if you were alive in a way, or, you know, an adult in, or young adult, whatever, in 1976, compare this to what you're hearing to 1976. Because in this, what you're about to hear, in the accompanying article, CNN boasts about people not at all proud to be American. Really? Really? Well, I think the audio speaks for itself, and what CNN is attempting, what their clear agenda is, and what they're attempting to tell their audience is pretty clear. Go ahead and roll clip one.
Tonight, on the eve of the 4th, do you feel proud to be an American? Here's Jeannie Mose.
Is once exploding American patriotism starting to fizzle?
Would you call yourself extremely proud to be an American?
Not at the moment. Sorry.
I'm proud to be an American.
Only 47% of Americans say they're extremely proud to be an American. That's the lowest level since Gallup first asked the question 17 years ago.
Extremely proud, very proud, moderately proud,
very
only
proud.
A little.
Very proud.
I think I could be prouder to be an American.
100% patriotic.
I would say I'm embarrassed to be an American right now.
You're a proud citizen.
A super proud citizen.
Immigrants gave especially heartfelt answers. For instance, this naturalized citizen from India.
I used to be very proud. I would say I'm just moderately proud now. It makes me heartbroken and hopeful that I shall be extremely proud again.
Those who admit to a slide in their pride tend to blame a president who has wrapped himself in the flag.
I'd be extremely if Trump wasn't president.
It's a shame. It's disgusting.
I'm going to put you in the not at all proud to be an American.
Not at all. If I had an opportunity, I would get the hell out of this country. Excuse my French.
32% of Democrats told Gallup they were extremely proud, compared to 74% of Republicans. The president's patriotism never flags.
So many stars. If she wasn't my flag, I'd be dating her.
Now that was from CNN yesterday. Notice how they ended that audio clip or that clip. That it was actually a video clip, but notice how they ended that with the obligatory slam Donald Trump. And his taken out of context words to make him look foolish. That, of course, is one of the many objectives of this particular bit, this particular interview. And they focused upon I hate America. Well, if you hate America, get the hell out. That's my view, number one. But why is it? Let's take a deeper look at it as to why this is. And you may look. You might say, well, I know why it is, but there are many people out there who are just starting to wake up. If we can help, I know this. I know, as Coach Dave Dobmeier often says, we can win on the numbers. We can win on the numbers, the numbers alone. There are more proud Americans or more Americans who understand the principles of this country, the principles of freedom, the Bill of Rights, or in other words, the Bill of Governmental Limitations and how it has been abused. There are more of us than there are of these limousine liberals, these lunatics, these cultural Marxists. The problem that we have today, of course, is the positioning, the infiltration, what we have allowed, the infiltration of these of the cultural Marxists into various positions of power, these choke points of information, which is why, which is part of the reason why, the lunatic left, the liberals on the left, the cultural Marxists or the true Marxists, that's why they hate the alternative media. And I hesitated on saying alternative media, the honest media. People, platforms like the Hagmann Report, platforms, so many other platforms. That's why they hate us, because we are bringing the truth to the public. And they can't fight us on facts, so they've got to fight us in other ways. They've got to slander us. They've got to hit us with... they've got to marginalize us. They've got to do everything that they can in order to take us down because it's against their agenda. They cannot have a strong America. I've said this before. I've stated it differently, but they cannot have a strong America, an America whose population is proud to be American and understand what it means to be an American. Even in Canada, for example, look at that. Look, I don't even know how to describe that Muslim effeminate leader up in Canada, Trudeau. Wow. Look at him. But see, if you're listening to me in Canada, you're in the same position as I am here in America, if you're listening to this broadcast, for the right reasons. Because we have people up there, of course, listening to this broadcast, transcribing every word, just to add to the lawfare and to other components to in an attempt to take this program down. It's simple as that. But if you're listening to this program for the right reasons, you'll understand that you can overcome this, and we can reclaim together what we've lost. I remember going to Canada back years ago, and the pride of being Canadian, and I respect that. Heck, I'm a columnist for Canada Free Press. Or have been senior columnist for Canada Free Press. And by the way, Canada Free Press, they understand what it is to be an American more than many Americans do on the coasts, you know, in the big cities. But they also understand what it is to be Canadian too. And that's the way it is, I'm sure, with you listening to this, wherever you might be listening to this broadcast all across the world. So that's what it, so happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, America. And thank you, the listeners, for standing strong on your patriotism. Hey, America's not perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. America has done more. Yes, okay. I've got somebody in studio with me. Playing devil's advocate. You want to mic up? Okay. Because I'm going to get emails. Well, you know, America started wars and this and that. Look, I know I've said we are not perfect and we must repent for many things. But for the good things that we have done. Hey, mic up or... I'm telling you, mic up or... Okay. She said, no, I'm not going to do that. All right. But see... I apologize for the distraction. Hey, it's a holiday, right? So... while you are at your barbecue, while you're watching the fireworks, do we even know why the fireworks? Do you know how many fireworks events I've been invited to, you know, for today? No. Look, do you know why? It's. Do you know what's behind the fireworks? Of course you do. But others, of course, sadly don't. They don't know history. Oh, and by the way, Tucker Carlson did a good piece last night. There's a difference between June 6th of this year and yesterday. There's the approval rating of Donald Trump is going up, and the disapproval rating of Donald Trump is going down. And the most significant rise in his approval ratings exists in the Hispanic community. There is a 10-point rise in his approval rating, 10% rise in his approval rating with Hispanics, and it centers around the border crisis, in quotation marks. Kid Trina, something that was supposed to be Donald Trump's Hurricane Katrina. Think back to George Bush, okay, for lack of handling it properly. This is Donald Trump's Kid Trina, or Katrina, nicknamed Kid Trina. Well, it backfired on the communist left. So I believe it was a Harvard study poll that showed a 10-point rise among the Hispanics, and even a sharp rise in approval with naturalized or with people who have come to this country legally, I'll just put it that way, versus the man on the street or woman on the street that you heard with CNN. Because CNN is boasting about people not at all proud to be an American. That's what their take is. It's agenda journalism, and as this is. But they are highlighting the bitter anti-President Donald Trump liberals within the city. I guarantee you, if you take that same poll and put it out in what is pejoratively termed flyover country. And, you know, why is it named flyover country? Because there's no place, according to liberals, that you'd want to stop. And, I mean, it's useless. It's an area of useless people. And it's, again, it's a pejorative flyover country. You fly over that part of the country, you get to somewhere else. For example, if you live in New York City, you're flying to San Francisco, the bastion of the communist left. You're flying over the places that you wouldn't want to, you've got no reason to stop. So of course it's the pejorative term, but this was taken, I believe, in downtown, from the looks of it, in downtown New York City. I'm not sure that they, I'm not sure CNN disclosed the location. The interview was conducted by Jeannie Moss, or M-O-O-S, however you pronounce it. I heard it, but I don't know. But anyway, the slide in pride is what was what they referenced. And it was all blamed on Donald Trump. In fact, the article quotes, in the text, the transcript quotes, those who admit to a slide in their pride tend to blame a president who has wrapped himself in the flag. And then you heard that end, that little end segment taken out of context. With Donald Trump saying, you know, how pretty the flag was. But the commonality in that CNN piece. I'd be extremely proud if Trump was not president. Who caused that? And who is stoking the embers of that sentiment right now? The people who caused that were the number one, obviously, Hillary Clinton and all of her supporters, the supporters of Bernie Sanders, and the Obama regime, followed by the never Trumpers. Even people on the right, the never Trumpers. And then, of course, you have the consummate globalists. So, and as a matter of fact, the there's the, perhaps the most explicit quote in that piece was a woman who emphasized her hatred for being an American. That foul-mouthed individual who said, it's a shame, it's disgusting. The interviewer says, I'm going to put you in the not at all proud to be an American. And the woman replied, not at all. If I had an opportunity, I would get the hell out of this effing country. Yeah. Of course, that sent the interviewer into this ecstatic glee. That's the soundbite we were waiting for. That's the soundbite we wanted. This is why Donald Trump looks and says the enemy, or that this particular journalism, if that's what you want to call it, is the enemy of this country. And it is. I believe it is. I've got a very unique perspective, by the way. I can speak from experience, because for the very same reasons that I am getting attacked, that we are getting attacked, and you too will be if you are not already being attacked for being an American, for expressing your viewpoints, for telling people how it is, for telling people the truth, the history. Whether it is the abuses of power by the Obama regime, the weaponization of the Department of Justice and FBI, by the globalist machinery, the state within the state, you're going to feel the effects. You're going to feel the blowback personally. You're going to lose relationships. You're going to lose family members. You're going to lose potentially clients. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to lose sponsors. You're going to lose. And this is being done. Oh, and by the way, you could be sued. Oh, yes, you can. And again, I've got a very unique inside perspective on this. I've got freedom of speech. I've got freedom to own a weapon. I've got multiple other freedoms granted to me by God. Right? It's not the Constitution. It's not a man-made government. It's affirmed by the Constitution. The rights are granted by God. It's delineated by the Constitution of America, but the rights are God-given rights. And everyone should be free, in my view. Happy birthday, America. I'm actually getting, you know, emotional in a sense when I think back again. If you lived through 1976, the bicentennial, and again, I know people thought, oh, the bicentennial minutes were hokey, and I remember bar games being done during that period of time, and you know, making fun of the bicentennial minutes. But one thing that was pretty clear, there was pride of being an American. Even if you were somewhat on the left or a Democrat, there was still common ground that was there. But it's gone now. In large part, it's gone now. It's replaced by violence. It's replaced by intolerance. And have you noticed the most intolerant of those among us are the leftists, who say they're against intolerance. It's the people on the left. You know, I mentioned Tucker Carlson earlier, and I mentioned, of course, comedians, and I mentioned the Bicentennial Minute, of course, opening this program with Happy Birthday to America. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, he had Chadwick Moore on yesterday. If you don't know who Chadwick Moore is, you can research him. He was someone that's formerly on the left, now seeing the light, looking at the state of affairs and saying, yeah, we're basically in a civil war, and talking about the left being wounded, of course, the wounds inflicted by the victory of Donald Trump as president. And all of this might seem basic to you, but the words of Chadwick Moore, and this was an extensive interview. I'm just going to have a minute and a half played of this interview, talking about, actually making some sense as to where this is coming from, talking about the Civil War, talking about just reaffirming what I said and I've been saying in this program. But have a listen to Chadwick Moore on Tucker Carlson from last night. It's about a minute and a half, a minute 20, I don't know, something like that. But making a lot of sense as to, number one, the state of the Union, the United States of America today, where this hatred is coming from, and the description of the Marxist left, not just the Democratic Party as it is, but the Marxist left, which, of course, embraces the Democratic Party that embraces the Marxist ideology. Take a listen to this.
Chadwick Moore is a journalist. He is a close observer of all of this, and he joins us now. Chadwick Moore is someone who was on the left fairly recently and now is not. Have you noticed, since you watch carefully, a progression where progressives are defending things, doing things they would not have a year ago?
Yeah, it seems that they are hankering for a civil war, and which would be very ill-advised, considering we have all the guns, as well as the market on the world's most valuable resource, which is toxic masculinity. But the calls, the open calls for violence against Trump supporters, the open calls, we just had Michelle Wolf, I believe on her Netflix show, just said this is not a time to be civil. You should be going after these people. This open rhetoric of calling for violence is very interesting. And Michelle Wolf's an interesting character because comedy is a great bellwether for what's happening in society. And if you look at the great comedians, American comedians, they are famous and we know them because they allow us to laugh at ourselves. They allow us to laugh at each other. They speak universal truths in the most effective way possible, which is through humor. You don't have that anymore in comedy on the left. You have somebody like Michelle Wolf, who basically spreads, she has hateful ideology, hateful rhetoric. She's not funny. And this is the same with all comedians on the left. They essentially, people aren't laughing because they're funny. They're laughing out of cruelty, not mirth. Because you can tell how emotionally damaged these people are basically by the results of the election. And they just want to hear the ideas espoused back to them. It's interesting that what could really come from this, I don't see how the Democratic Party really repairs itself after this, after Maxine Waters' comments, after all of this open violence. Right. What you may see, and what might actually be the best thing for them, is for them to completely crash and burn, for them to just give up on 2020, maybe even 2024, in order to reinvent themselves. That's maybe when they become even more dangerous than they are now.
But is there some, look, if there was a Republican member of Congress who stood up and said, next time you see someone you disagree with, assemble a mob of people and go confront and harass that person, I think, I'd like to think I would be honest enough to say, you know what, that's totally over the line. That's just wrong. You're not seeing that response to Maxine Waters from our own party. Are there any adults left in the leadership of the Democratic Party? And will they be standing up soon to calm what is clearly becoming, you know, out of control?
I don't see any leaders on the Democratic on the side of the any adults in the room. I don't, you know, whoever does step up to do that and does go against the party, that might be their new, the new face of the party, something they desperately need. But it's, they are openly spreading this rhetoric. They are you know, a wounded animal is most dangerous when it's when it's injured. An animal, a wild animal, is most dangerous when it's injured, and that's.
And that was Chadwick Moore on Tucker Carlson yesterday, July 3rd, 2018. Now, to those people who will tell me, well, yeah, Chadwick Moore is a homosexual journalist and he's got a checkered background, I can see the emails coming at me fast and furious, pun intended. However, it's not about the man. It's about the message. It's about his observations. We must realize as Americans, and this is the takeaway, at least my takeaway from that interview, the left, and I'm talking about all of the progressive left as espoused by the Democratic National Socialists, the Democratic Party, the leftists, the Obamas, the Hillary Clintons, the Tom Perez. Know the name Tom Perez as you would know the name Kamala Harris or many rising, so-called rising stars, stars on the left, including the newly elected or newly the new contender in New York. The new socialist of New York, understand what these people stand for, but about his message. The left, the globalists, and that includes many self-described conservatives, which they're not, but they are like wounded animals. Now they are fighting for the last grips of power in this deep state government. And once you understand the workings, and I know my audience, I know my the demographics, and again, I just want to thank everyone for making the Doug Hagmann Radio Show one of the fastest growing radio shows on the market today. Thank you so very much, and I appreciate the words of encouragement. I appreciate your emails, Judy, Valerie, Kevin, there's so many. Thank you so much for everything you do, Captain Roy D. I mean, my goodness, on and on. We're in this together. But the fact of the matter is this. Obviously, the left, the progressive left, the cultural Marxists, the political Marxists have infiltrated this country. As I've mentioned before, their intent is to bring our country down, obviously bring Donald J. Trump down. I am, every day I'm in prayer for Donald Trump. I'm concerned about his welfare and safety, as I am about his cabinet members and all of the people, even the journalists on the right, and there are some, who are attempting to do the right thing. I'm concerned about all of us, the safety, the security, because of the left. They are like wounded animals. They know that their misdeeds, their lawlessness has been exposed. The lawlessness that has been rampant across the United States at the upper echelons of the Department of Justice and FBI, as I've spoken about so many times. The special counsel, in my view, that is nothing more than a diversion against the tactics of and the operational aspects of the left, much like during the McCarthy era, where McCarthy was exposing in the House Un-American Activities Commission, the Dees Commission, Martin Dees, those individuals exposing the infiltration and the espionage and the seditious activity, all of these people. It's the same. Well, it's in a, at this point we are at the same point in history, if not the closing chapter or that moment, that crescendo moment, where they're very well could be a flashpoint that'll bring us into war against each other. And that is what the left so desperately wants, a brick thrown through the Republican headquarters in Nebraska. I mean, there's so many in the harassment of the people on the right, the conservatives, the true harassment of the conservatives, the threats that have so far have gone unpunished. The people who use their freedom of speech in this country, comedians like, so-called comedians like Kathy Griffin and Michelle Wolf, who have, they're shameful, in my view, shameful representations of humanity, doing everything in their power to bring down this country. Bill Maher, who even came out to say, and this is old news, hey, and if a recession could bring down Donald Trump, and of course a recession that would hurt everyone, and especially the poor, then let it be. I mean, think about that mentality. This is what we're fighting. This is the wounded animal of the cultural Marxist wounded animal against which we fight, against who we fight. The vitriolic hatred is not just for Donald Trump. It's for everyone who supports the idea of a great nation of America, the America that would be the speed bump to this globalist collectivist mentality. And I've said this before. And that's why I am so, that I believe the biggest story of our lifetime is the coup that was initiated by Barack Hussein Obama, the overt and covert coup against Donald Trump, against the conservatives. Don't forget, Barack Hussein Obama, for 8 years, implemented socialism or socialistic policies into with the intent to create this communist utopian collective, a utopia that doesn't exist. I've gone over this and over this in this program, and that's what this program is really about, is about exposing those individuals who are acting in sedition, in treason against our nation, to bring our nation down. It's not enough. This is not about politics. This is about a cancerous ideology that has infected the body politic and infected the culture of our country. It's a complex yet exquisitely simple kind of movement to break down the institutions that made our country great. At the heart of it, and I would urge everyone to look at the bigger picture as we enter into this July 4th Independence Day celebration. At the heart of it, let's remember what's truly at stake. I love the quote from John Adams, founder of our republic. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Now, as we approach the final portion of today's program, I've got something special to wrap up, to end this program, so stay with me. But looking at this country, looking at America, as Americans celebrate Independence Day, it's worthwhile to remind ourselves that our great nation was founded indeed by men and women who shared a strong faith in God and trust in His divine providence. And I'm reminded again, worth noting once more, that quote from John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, which is why I talk about on this program the assault against the biblical family, as I mentioned earlier. And as I mentioned earlier, the assault against the most sacred of all, the life of the unborn, the infanticide that is being pushed by the progressives under the banner of whether it's health care or my body, my choice, or whatever lies that are being spread. But the assaults are against the core nervous system of our country, the morality of our country, the godliness of our country. And you know, other quotes from our founders. John Adams again weighing in, saying that the Christian religion is, above all other religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, of virtue, equity, and humanity. And John Quincy Adams saying, the hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith, and whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to the hope that they appear to be at the present time. And may the associate distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have been made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52:10, John Quincy Adams. And I can go on a little more. John Adams again, I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. And when, you know, my words now, when we kicked out the Bible in the Christian faith from the schools to the city council chambers, to the all local areas. It's just been downhill from there. But remember, we are engaged in a war between good and evil. That's the war in which we are engaged. I could talk all day long about Civil War 2.0, and it seems like some days I do. But this is a war against good versus evil. This is a war between the founding principles of this country and how they have been perverted by people such as Barack Hussein Obama, in my view, and all of the people who are in support of Hillary Clinton and Hillary Clinton herself. Of course, we can get deep into the evil, the pervasive evil of the people such as, in my view, Obama and Clinton and the people around her, and into Hollywood, into academia. We understand that as individually and collectively. I do believe that we understand that. But what makes this country, what has made this country greater than any other country on earth, and those people standing in other countries listening to this broadcast, to include you as well, your faith, and as Noah Webster said, that the moral principles and precepts found in the Scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitution and laws. And that includes you, whether you stand in Canada or in Mexico or in Central America, South America, wherever you're listening to this, Western Europe, the UK. And I've got many listeners in the UK. May God bless each and every one of you as well. Because, I believe that, again, we are in the fight of our lives. So just to recap, as we celebrate the independence from Great Britain of this country, and I would bet, and I'm sure we're going to see videos of, from South Beach or from somewhere over in Los Angeles, you know, the Santa Monica Pier, people not knowing anything. I guarantee you, you're going to see videos. What's Independence Day all about? Well, it's about the Civil War. It's about this. And the assault on academia that has resulted in this lack of knowledge. Understand, we have been and continue to be in this war that's being launched on all aspects of our society. But it's much bigger than that. It's bigger than what is that saying? The sum of the whole is, or the I'm not, you understand, the sum of, or the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, or whatever. That's what I'm getting to. So when we look at the animus, the vile and vicious attacks against Donald Trump, or looking at the vile and vicious attacks against you and I, against the people who really embrace the precepts, the concepts of a free America. And may God bless this nation of ours, faults and all. And let's rectify that which has made our country a stumbling block, whether it's, again, infanticide or the rise of the homosexual perversion of marriage, of traditional marriage. We're fighting against this. We're fighting against these principles. But I think we can all agree on the fact that we are one nation, and we need the borders, the language, and the culture. We are not to be balkanized. We are not to be split. We are not meant to coexist with those who believe in such perversions. And I think I've made the case where this has been played out in the past, where I brought up the bicentennial, America's bicentennial, and the bicentennial minutes 42 years ago, throughout the entire year, and how everything has changed. Changed why? It's a result of the cultural Marxist and the fascist infiltration. The very people who are calling us fascists are indeed the fascists. And the tolerance. Oh, we don't have a problem with intolerance. We have a problem with tolerance. I'd like to close this special July 4th, Independence Day holiday, with something that you may or may not remember, may or may not have heard about. There was a 1970, in 1970, there was a television special, John Wayne's Swing Out Sweetland. It was a TV special. Besides John Wayne, it included the song God Bless America, and Hollywood luminaries at that time participated in singing parts of God Bless America, and they included Lucille Ball, Jack Benny, Dan Blocker. You remember him passing away early, of course, Bonanza, or Ponderosa, I believe. Roscoe Lee Brown, Glenn Campbell, Johnny Cash, Roy Clark, Bing Crosby, Phyllis Diller, Lorne Greene, Celeste Holm, Bob Hope, Michael Landon, Ann Margaret, Dean Martin, Ross Martin, Ed McMahon, Greg Morris, I go on, Rick Nelson, little Ricky Nelson, Hugh O'Brien, Dan Rowan, Dick Martin, Rowan and Martin, of course, William Shatner, Red Skelton, Tom Smothers, Leslie Uggams, and Dennis Weaver. Now, this ensemble, back in 1970, participated in this John Wayne special, Swing Out Sweetland. Again, 1970. Compare that to the entertainers, the Hollywood of today. Note the progression of progressivism, the toxicity of the cultural Marxism that we see today. So on this birthday of our great nation, the nation of America, the speed bump to the globalists, where we have today, to the dismay and to the sky yellers, Donald J. Trump as President of the United States, allow me to present this, maybe 3-minute a monologue from John Wayne. Now, this is just excerpted from a longer special, and I would encourage you, I'll put the link in the program description box on Blog Talk Radio, but I would encourage you to listen to the entire broadcast. It's the entire film, I believe, or the entire special is, 9 minutes or so. I'm not exactly certain. But this, I would like this to close out this special Independence Day program for the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour. Not much investigation, not much information in this broadcast, but a lot of inspiration. Because the reason I selected this, and this, by the way, is hosted as well, or is noted at Conservative Treehouse, but this also, to me, speaks to a large member of the listening audience of this show and of our flagship show, The Hagmann Report. This speaks to the people who either are young in their lives or before them, or people like myself, older. But there's one thing that we have in common, and that's tomorrow. Now, I cannot say this any better than John Wayne did back in 1970. I encourage you to listen to this, and I encourage you to follow the link to the entire episode. And if you're older like I am, I know you'll appreciate the value, the sentiment. But most importantly, I know that this will speak to your heart. This will speak to your soul. This will speak to you in ways that I can't. I certainly don't have that, at this point, that capability. Because you and I together, we can make a difference. And by the way, to my international listeners, enjoy this and apply it to yourself as well. This should speak to all of us. We can collectively make a difference, and we are making a difference. To the listeners of the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, I just want to say happy Independence Day. Embrace everything that Independence Day means, and may God bless each and every one of you, and may God bless the United States of America. Have a great Memorial Day. Thanks for allowing me into your homes, into your backyard barbecue, into your kitchens, into your car, your office, your diner, and in some cases on your boat. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a safe, joyous Independence Day. We'll see you tonight, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
American opportunity has no limits, has been known to knock more than once. How about you very young people who see a tough life ahead? Well, when Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox, Booker T. Washington was a 9-year-old slave. Yet by the time he was 28, he became president of Tuskegee Institute. And at 8 months, Neil Armstrong took his first small baby step toward mankind and fell flat on his face. At 6 years old, Mickey Mantle was settling for a base on balls. At 7, Wilt Chamberlain nailed a practice hoop over his garage without a ladder. And at 8, Charles Lindbergh was flying a kite, wondering how it'd feel to be up that high. At 9, Burt Bacharach was thinking the piano lessons would never end. How many of you are pushing 50 and complaining that the country is going to hell? Crispus Attucks was in his 40s when he died on State Street in Boston, fighting for the freedom that we share. And John F. Kennedy was 44 when he asked not what his country could do for him, but what he could do for his country. And how many of you over 65 are just settling down now to rest after a busy life? Well, a fellow by the name of Eisenhower, who had already lived one lifetime as a soldier, was re-elected to the presidency when he was 67 years young. Well, by now I've made my point, or I never will. Oh, there's one other thing. Every man and woman or child I've ever known, met, seen, or heard of wants one thing more than anything else in the world. That one thing is tomorrow. Tomorrow, that's the only thing any of us have going for us. And I believe this. If tomorrow, all of us, every single one of us, gets out of bed and says, this is my country, and I'm going to do good for it, we'll make the greatest step forward since a pilgrim's foot found Plymouth Rock. Tomorrow, remember, this is my country, and I'm going to do good for it. Just might work. We'll never know unless we give it a fair try. Oh, yeah, and there's one other thing I'll say tomorrow, because I say it every day of my life. God bless America.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.